Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. It's been a long time, and I always enjoy coming to Enid. This is my second home. Are those where you can hear me? Okay, because I know I have a light voice. But the Lord gave me this message in a very, very special way. I was talking with a friend who's a president of a club I'm in, and we were talking about getting speakers to come and work with some issues in our community. And in talking with her, her name is Jennifer, she said, there are so many things coming at us today. I mean, so many things, so many pressures in life. How can we deal with them all? And I said, I don't know. We just have to take them to the Lord. And she said, yes, we do. And she's a Christian. But she said, how can we, anyway, in our talk it was, there's so many things. How can you narrow it down to some one specific thing here and there when there's such a broad battle going on? And so I went to, after our conversation, went home, and like I usually do at night, I meditate over the day, and that thought was going on in my mind. And the Lord gave me this vision. I'm going to draw it on the board. I'm not a real good artist, but I think I can get some of this across. Short. And then I know that in the back you probably can't see this. It says personal battles. And I have papers because I know you can't maybe see very well from the back what I wrote on the board. And if Micah would come up here and pass this one out. There's six. I have six copies, so you'll have to share. But where did Micah go? This kind of gives out my lesson. It's my scriptures and my thoughts. So you can follow along with me. There's six of them, and you can just kind of pass them around where people can share. But we all have personal battles in life because we all face the enemy. The mind is our battleground. In our mind, how we think and what we meditate upon, that's where our battle is. And we have to think on the thoughts. Did I give you all of them? I thought I had one left back for me. Just one moment. I might have given you all of them. I thought I had one left in here somewhere. Okay, thank you. But, yes, our mind is where the enemy comes in and tempts us. John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress. We're all familiar with that book. But he also wrote another book called The Holy War. I don't know if any of you all have ever read that. But that book is an allegory, and what it talks about is man's soul. Man's soul. God created a very special creation when he created man. And man's soul was God's very special place to live. And then the enemy started coming in, and he has names for each of the characters. But the enemy starts talking to the ear gate, the devil, Satan. And the devil says to the ear gate, let me come in, and I want to come and give you blessing. Anyway, he talks to man's soul through the ear. And then the whole story is, and I'll just speed it up, what they're wanting to do is to get into man's soul and shoot out Mr. Conscience. And if they can shoot down Mr. Conscience, then they will make the eye gates go shut, the blind the person. And then after a while, the mind that they want to take over. And he has the story all in allegory form and gives names to it. But the whole thought of the story is that the devil is about his business to try to take over man's soul, which is our soul that God created in his image. Every person has a soul that God wants to draw to himself and redeem, as we heard this morning. He wants to redeem that soul. But the enemy does all he can, Satan, to try to take and destroy man's soul. So we have these battles going on in Romans 12 and 2 on that scripture passage. It says, let's not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our mind is this battleground, and it's constantly working. We have thoughts that come in and out of our mind, and we can choose what thoughts we want to keep and meditate on, and we can also choose what thoughts we want to kick out. You know, I don't want to think on that. I don't want that thought in my mind. It's our decision. And if we have the Holy Spirit teaching us and directing us, that Holy Spirit will help us then to know the thoughts to meditate upon and the thoughts to destroy or throw out. And we all have these personal battles that we go through. We go through, and we all have our own. We sometimes look at someone and think, oh, they're doing really good. But we don't know the battles they may be having within. They might be having lonely feelings. They might have feelings of anger. They might be dealing with fears. There's fears that come upon us today when we hear news and things happen. We can have our own battles of sickness, and I didn't put that down. You may think of other things that I didn't think of. We have battles with grief. Grief is real. When a loved one that we hold so dear to us passes away, grief comes to us, and grief is sometimes a long-lasting thing to deal with, because it can come and go and cause us to be sad and lonely at times. Discouragement and disappointments come our way. So we have these personal battles. All of us do. And so we have to deal with that. The scripture in Isaiah 26 and 3, I have this scripture in my house in a plaque. And it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. When we hear of things going on, whenever we feel lonely, when troubles come our way, we can feel sad. We can feel that emotion that goes with it. And then I like to myself commit it to the Lord. Commit it to the Lord. Because our mind can only handle so much stress. And if you get too much stress and you keep it on your mind, it will also affect you physically. It can cause heart conditions. It can cause trouble breathing, panic. So if we can cast our cares upon the Lord whenever these things come our way. We live in a highly charged emotional world. People go a lot by emotions. Sometimes not even by facts. They go by emotions. And things like that will cause us to, you might say, become stressed out to a point where our body is also affected. The Lord wants us to cast our cares upon him, put our mind to ease. And Psalms 1 and 1 and 2, we're very familiar with that passage where it talks about being like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, and our meditation is day and night upon the Lord, just being like a tree that's planted. I love this passage. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So meditate upon the word of God. Meditate upon his goodness and the blessings that he's given to us. That helps our mind to come at ease when things come our way. King David said in Psalms 139, and 23, he said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now that's a challenge, to have the Lord try our thoughts and know us. You know, he knows us anyway. And so it's good sometimes to look in the mirror. James talks about that, to look into the mirror, the Word of God. And he says then in James, when you do that, don't just walk away and forget what you heard, but as you look in the Word and you see yourself, make adjustments. When the Lord talks to us, make adjustments. But it's very important to stand before the Lord honestly and let him search us. In Psalms 26:2, it says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove my reins and my heart." The Lord is merciful. He is, I have found, more merciful than a lot of times people. Sometimes people will misjudge. A lot of times they will. And sometimes they will say things that hurt, things that will cause our heart to be crushed. And perhaps they didn't mean it, and maybe they did. But people misunderstand. God does not. That's one thing about the Lord. He does not misunderstand us. I've had times in my life, maybe you have too, where I've gone to the Lord and I've said, "Lord, you know my heart. When I did this, I was sincere." And then it was all misunderstood and taken out of context. "Lord, what can I do about it?" And the Lord will come in and tell me, "I understood what you were doing," and he will help me with the situation. He will tell me, perhaps I need to do this to straighten it up, or sometimes it's just pray. Just trust him and let him work it out. But I know the Lord never, ever misunderstands us. He always knows our heart. He always knows where we are, and he always knows our thoughts. He's worthy to be trusted. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And that is very true. A lot of our words come from what our heart is meditating upon. So if we watch our thoughts, how our thoughts are traveling, because what our thoughts become and what we meditate upon becomes our heart's meditation. And what comes from our heart shows what character we are. So we want to be careful. Jesus talked about that in Matthew, the 15th chapter. This is a time when he and the disciples were walking through the cornfields, and they were eating the corn with unwashed hands. And it's kind of hard to imagine that some Pharisees were there watching, that they were trying to trip Jesus up, find some fault with him. And so the Pharisees that were there watching, they said, "The disciples, they're eating corn without washing their hands." They should be washing their hands. Now it's good to wash your hands before you eat. But Jesus wanted to make a point here. He said, "What goes into your mouth does not really defile you, but it's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you." And after he left, after he had said that to the Pharisees, that's in Matthew 15, the disciples asked him about it. They said, "Now what did you mean about that?" And Jesus said, "Don't you understand? I was speaking about this spiritually. Whenever you eat physical food, it comes in your body and is pushed through your body. But whenever you think upon things in your mind, as you would eating spiritual food, thinking spiritual thoughts, you know, thoughts in your mind, as you think in your mind, that goes into your heart. And what comes out of your heart comes through your mouth. And it's the words that you speak that oftentimes causes trouble." And so he said, watch your mouth, what you think, what you meditate upon. So that leads to my next circle. And my next circle is, we have battles with relationships. Relational, well, I do plan relationships, I guess it is. That's like, let me do this. Three. Relationships. That's our other battlefront. Not only do we have personal battles, and if you want to pass this one out to Micah, I have some copies of this, but we also have relationship battles. And what I mean by that is, relationship battles are those that you have with other people. Like with people that you live with every day, with friends and family. We have relationship battles. These are unforgiveness and covetousness. We have these battles within us. We have selfishness. How many see a little baby? It's not long when they're born and they get a little bit older, maybe about, 6 months or even a little younger sometime, and they want it themselves. Mine, mine. It's a selfishness. And they don't want somebody else to have it. They want to have it. These are relationship battles that we have, and the enemy wants to come in, and he puts pressure on us with these kind of temptations. Matthew 5:23, and Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount talked a lot about relationships. Jesus says in Matthew 5:23, therefore if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. What Jesus is saying here is, be at peace with others. The center verse I have here on relationships is, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That's Romans 12:18. As much as lieth in you. Now, there's some people that it's hard to make peace with. They just want to be disagreeable. But as much as lieth in you, be at peace with all men. The Ten Commandments that God gave Moses in Exodus 20, the first four have to deal with our relationship with God. He tells us to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and then he tells us not to take his name in vain, not to have graven images, and also to keep the Sabbath. The last of the Ten Commandments, the last six, have to do with our relationship with others. Jesus told us to he brings it out in Mark 12:29-31. If you want to turn there with me, he covered the Ten Commandments, Jesus did, when he was talking there with the lawyer. And the lawyer asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus put them into two commandments, Mark 12:29. And Jesus answered him and said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and that covers the first four of the Ten Commandments. And then this covers the last six of the Ten Commandments. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that dost ask him any questions. So Jesus there answered their question, but he put it simple. He said, if you will love God with all your heart, then it will make you also want to love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. And of course, then they had another question after that about who is my neighbor. And he told the parable of the Good Samaritan that took care of the man that was left by the side of the road dead, as dead. So, but Jesus wanted them to get the two greatest commandments there. So these are very important to God, that we have a good relationship with one another. And the enemy knows that. He knows that when people are united together and they're under the power of God, there's a lot of power there. There's a lot of power in prayer. And so unity together is very important for God's people, and the enemy knows it. And so what he tries to do is to make little inroads in among people. Well, I don't like what he said to me. What she did, that was wrong. It hurt my feelings. I'm just not going to talk to him anymore. I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm not going to. And the enemy likes to cause little grudges to come in there. And he'll, after a while, cause some bitterness and some selfish feelings, and unforgiveness comes in. I'm not going to forgive that person. You know what they did to me. They took this. Or you know what I'm talking about. All these little things that the enemy pushes and puts pressure on us to have ill will toward other people. And when he does that, it not only causes us trouble, it causes the other person too. So it's a conflict thing. That's what the devil loves to do. The devil loves conflict. He loves to make people be at odds with one another. And so I've told my children when they were young and growing up, I'd say, be stronger, be smarter than the devil. Don't let the devil make you, you know, disagree with your brother or get, you know, cause trouble there. Be smarter than the devil. In other words, don't let him outsmart you and make you have ill will toward a brother or sister. Get over it. Life's too short to hold grudges and not to be unforgiving. But we need to learn to forgive. And one of the scriptures that Jesus brought out about the last times is in Matthew 24. I like this passage. Matthew 24, if we start with even the 36th verse, it says, this is talking about the last days when Jesus will come back again. He said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field. Okay, let's skip down to 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Now we're going into spiritual. It can also mean physical, but I want to go into this spiritually. Watch against the enemy, because the enemy is sly. Don't let the enemy break up your household. Families are important to God. That was the first unit that God put together in the very beginning when he created Adam and Eve, and then they had children. The family unit is very, very important. So watch, therefore, don't let the enemy separate your family and divide your family and cause ill will in your family. Watch for that and put those things down when you see something coming in, differences and ill will among your brothers and sisters or among children. Keep your family intact here. Therefore, be also ready, for as in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? That's a question. Who is a faithful servant? He said, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." A servant that's being watchful. And I'm putting this in spiritual terms again. Being careful to make sure relationships are kept clear. I'm telling you, I've been by the bedside of people that's passed away. Just this last week, I'm going into a little story here. I was called last Sunday night. I work with visiting angels. So my supervisor texts me and she goes, "Connie, we have a shift that's come open. A lady just got out of the hospital and her daughter is tired and she needs somebody to come and stay with her mother so she can get some rest. The mother's just been put on hospice and we need someone there to, you know, keep watch over her. And she's pretty much bedbound now." So anyway, I felt impressed to go ahead. It was Sunday night. With the Lord impressed upon me, take care of this family. Go check on this family. Be with them. I did not know this family. I came into the home not knowing the family at all. That's, you know, you come in and you introduce yourself. And the daughter was very cordial. She was very glad to see me. She said, "I'm glad to see you're a Christian." And I told her I went to the Church of God. She asked, and she said, "I go to the Church of God." She said the Cleveland group. But anyway, so we got acquainted. But her mother was laying on the bed in the other room, and she was saying, the mother was saying, "Dear Jesus, please take me home. Please take me home. Dear Jesus, please take me home." And the mother, I did not really get to talk to the mother very much because she was too stressed. But she had a little Chihuahua dog, and that little Chihuahua dog wouldn't leave her. The dog was laying on the bed by the mother there. And I asked the daughter, I said, about that dog. And she said, "Oh, that dog, cutie, she's a real sweetie." And I said, she's going to give me trouble because she's not going to like me taking care of her mistress, you know. And so, anyway, that was my biggest concern. But I saw in this family, what I'm bringing this out is that mother had already made a very deep relationship with her daughter. And her daughter was very attentive to her. And she leaned over and brushed her mother's hair and kissed her forehead. And she said, "Mama, are you hurting?" She said, "I just want to go home to be with Jesus." And they had ordered some medicine and everything. Anyway, I'm going to speed up the story. And so after the daughter left at 8, I got there at 7, the daughter left at 8 to go home, and I said, "Leave me your phone number just in case I need it. I don't know. I'm hoping you can have a quiet night. The mother is resting now." Well, long story short, I went in and had a little snack myself. I checked on the mother, and the dog was still there, and every time I checked on the mother, that dog would raise its head and look at me, and I thought, "Oh, I'm going to have a problem with you, I'm afraid." And I was going to give the dog a snack. But I went back in to check on the mother again, and I thought, "She's not breathing," because she had her mouth open. So I went over, checked her neck, her face, tried to take her pulse, and she was gone. She passed away about 9:45, I think it was, at least around there. Anyway, but what I saw in this family was so close. The daughter said, "My mother played the organ and I played the piano in church." And she said, "We could wear the same clothes." And so sometimes she said, "We would switch jackets or we would switch shoes just to be funny and silly." And she said one time, she said, we were sitting down on the bench waiting, some speaker was talking, and she said, "I just reached over and kicked my mother's shoe off and gave her my shoe, and we each had one another's shoes." You know, she said, "My mom had one of mine, I had one of hers." And then she said, "We didn't realize they were going to call us up to play. And we went out to play, each wearing separate shoes." And she said, she was just telling me some things like this that she remembered. And I thought, how close of a relationship that was. And she said her family was big and they had a lot of unity together. She had a good support system. That meant so much to see whenever that mother passed away. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I've been in situations where it's not been that way. I had one lady I cared for. She didn't have any children. And so what I'm saying here is the family unit is extremely important. And I've never been in a situation with a family where a loved one is dying and the loved one says, "How much money am I going to leave? How much?" No, the concern is, I want my son here. I want my daughter. Where's my grand? I want them. I want to know, you know, that they're okay. That's important. The relationship is so much more important than the material things. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He said, be ready, be watchful, keep the relationships with your family open, free, friendly, keep ill will away, so that you will not be found with bad relationships, ill will in your heart. And he says in this last part, but if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is talking, as I said, in a spiritual way, but the Lord wants relationships to be kept free, open, clear. And the devil does everything he can to bring pressures in, of jealousy and envy and covetousness and power struggles. Power struggles is a real big thing. I want to be more powerful than that person. I want to be more exhilarated. I want to be above so-and-so. These power struggles, they're nothing in the sight of God whenever it comes to looking at his power. Backbiting is another one to beware of. Backbiting is saying things behind somebody's back that you know hurts them and would cause harm to their character. The Lord is against that. So we'll move on. I have one more. We have all these battles to deal with in our life. We have that personal battles. We have relationship battles. And then we have these cultural battles. We feel these cultural battles in our world, and they're real. We have to fight against them. And Michael, you can pass this one out too, please. You're being a really good help. These cultural battles that we feel in our world today are coming against us. And Jesus, he saw it in his time. He said in John 4:34, Jesus said, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. He told his disciples the Great Commission in Mark 16. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. And that's also another sign of the end of times, that the gospel would be preached in all the world. And I don't know if you've been ever following Bibles. See, it's called World Bibles. I get their newsletter often. But they've been translating the Bible into tribal languages for some time. And their goal is to make sure that every tribe in the world has a, at least they usually translate the book of Mark and the book of Luke into the gospel first, into the language first for those people to read. But the Lord wants his world to be evangelized. He wants people to know about Jesus, his son, who came to redeem us from our sins. But the devil is doing everything he can to defeat that work. And so we have these, just, you know, we work, reach out to the world, but then here comes the devil with all his pressures. So we're already dealing with personal battles, relationship battles, and then we've got these cultural battles that come in against us. And all these spirits there, there's evil spirits in our world that are working hard to bring us, to make us feel discouraged. Now you get to feeling overwhelmed, and I think that's what my friend was talking about when I was first started, you know, my friend Jennifer, she was saying, we just have all these things coming at us, and it makes you feel overwhelmed to where you feel like, what's the use? I mean, we're just being overwhelmed with all these things that's coming against us. Why tell somebody about the Lord? They won't care anyway. You know why? But the Lord wants us to continue on. We've got these things coming on these forefronts, on these battlefields, but the Lord has more power over them. Financial stress is a big one. We feel that a lot in our society today with the cost of living so high. We feel these pressures. There's so much deceit in our world. If we turn to 2 Timothy 3, he talks about in the last days what's going to be going on. In the last days, 2 Timothy 3, and starting with the first verse, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. He's bringing out these are the spirits that are turned loose in our world, in our culture today. And we feel those pressures from them because they're coming upon us. And it seems like sometimes you hear this and you hear that and you think, is that true? Is that? It's just there in our culture and we've got these pressures. And like I said, it can make us feel overwhelmed where we just want to hide out and not witness about the Lord. But you know, I think of the early morning church and how they had those pressures too. They felt them. And they were able, by the grace of God, to go through personal battles, relationship battles, and still be able also to turn the world upside down by reaching out to the world and witnessing about Jesus. So there was power there in the Lord, and he gave that to them. Put on the whole armor of God. That's in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. He tells us how to fight these battles in life, where we aren't without equipment. But in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, 10th verse, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not necessarily against the people, but it's against the spirits that they have allowed to use them. But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's very much there today. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So the Lord has a place for each one of us. He wants each of us to be about the Father's business, as Jesus was, but he wants us to be prepared. We have to have our equipment in place, and we have to be prepared, because the cultural battle that we're fighting today is real. The devil has been at this for many centuries, and he's sly. And the only way to be able to defeat the enemy is to have God's equipment on, his armor, and to be prepared, and to know where he's at. I heard a lady talking yesterday. She gives counsel to military personnel, and her talk was that military personnel are basically concerned about the direction the military is going. I won't go into detail about what she said. But I was very impressed with this. These men and women that are coming to her because they feel that they're being programmed to do things they don't want to do. They are coming to her, and she said, the only answer I can give them is, you need to know God. You need to know Jesus Christ, and you need to know God. She said, that's the only answer. He's the only one that has higher power than the evil of this world. And I was impressed with that, because this lady is a high up position in the military, but she's not working for the military. She's a counselor on the side. I just was very impressed with her giving that advice to these people, because she said, the globalists that are doing so much evil in our world today, they believe they're gods, and they do. They think they're gods. And they're playing the world like a child plays a video game, and they're doing their things. But God has supreme power, and God is above all. And when we are God's child, and we're listening to the voice of God, and we let God direct us, then we have that power within us that is above all this world's corruption. And so we can use that against the enemy. In closing, that's what John said. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have overcome, this is John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Ye are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So he is bringing out here, we've overcome them, all the evil, by the blood of the Lamb, by knowing God and having that power of God within us. And he will help us in fighting against the cultural war that we're in and these other personal battles too that we have. The personal battles, relationship battles, the cultural battles, they're real. And we have to have the Holy Spirit of God to help us in these days that we're living in. So this is the message the Lord gave to me, and it was an encouragement to me. I hope it was to you. In 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has possessed a good profession before many witnesses. Lay hold on eternal life. And that comes through the blood of Jesus. And it's by his blood that we can have that redemption, and it's through his power that we can win these battles that we're in. But it's only through the blood of Jesus. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's there for us all. Thank you for your time.